on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon, you might say, Sheriff Cochi really lucked out. Crisp and on the cooler side instead of hot and humid. Dry, with the exception of a light sprinkle, the agreeable weather held out. Somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 of the state's political brand names and hopefuls dutifully filed out, pressed the flesh, rubbed the elbows, and hobnobbed to their heart's content. Now, some were fresh from the golf course preceding the event. Some skipped the links and arrived and were ferried by golf cart shuttle from parking to where the action was. Amid the beers, sausages, peppers, ribs, chicken, burgers, and dogs, the biggie of politics rocked on through the afternoon. The offices, well, everything from governor's counsel, state auditor, state rep, state senate, and more, and from Beacon Hill to the Berkshires, the general schmoozing was in high gear. Now, in this special program today, you will hear the voices of Diane DiSaglio, Sheriff Cochi, Lily Dixon, Chris Dempsey, Dom Sarno, Chip Harrington, Jesse Letterman, Victor Davila, Mike Fenton, and Jake Oliveira. And away we go.
And here's the man for whom this eponymous event exists. I thought I'd throw out a big word. Sheriff Nick Cochi. Hello, Sheriff. How are you?
How you doing, Brad?
I'm great to be here again. It's wonderful to have you back on Pioneer Valley Radio. You know, I have been here when you've had torrential rain. I have been here when you've had broiling humidity, and today is just a beautiful day.
Well, we are so blessed with today and the weather. It's nice and cool with a breeze. We're expecting upwards of about 2,000 people today.
Wow.
All the candidates coming in for statewide office. Well, bringing Boston to Western Mass.
Yeah.
You know, you're teeing it up on the state ticket, and we want our citizens to be able to ask questions and feel them out a little bit what they're going to do and how they're going to support Western Massachusetts.
This is the lull before the storm right now.
Yeah.
Because, as you mentioned a moment ago, shortly there will be a confluence of political, law enforcement, and business folks who are all coming here to press the flesh and enjoy a sausage. I had one a moment ago the size of a pipe fitting.
Unbelievable, right? Those are the hits. Those are the hits of the cookout now. It's the sausage, peppers, and onions.
Well, we'll catch up with you. I wanted to get you on to say hello to everybody, because I know that you got to do a little meeting and greeting right now here at the Sheriff's Picnic at the, well, we're at the Elks here in Springfield. Nick, God bless you. What number is this one? We'll put a number on this one.
This will be our fifth.
How is that possible?
I know. Time has flown by. It's a six-year term, and I'm just excited. We're teeing it up for another six, and we're having a lot of fun.
Sheriff Nick Cochi on Pioneer Valley Radio. And now joining us on Pioneer Valley Radio from the lovely hamlet of Methuen. Yes, sit down. We welcome Diane DiSaglio. Hello, Diane.
Hello, how are you? Great to be here.
How many sheriff's picnics have you been to in the past?
Well, this one is my second one, actually. I had the honor and privilege of meeting Sheriff Cochi a little over a year ago, maybe about a year and a half ago. Or right around the time, I should say, when I decided that I was going to be running for state auditor. Currently, I'm serving as a state senator in the 1st Essex District, way up on the New Hampshire border. I drove over 2 hours to be here today again. I am in this area very often, in the Springfield area and in all of Western Mass. But today is a very special event because there are folks from all over the region who come out to support Sheriff Cochi, and I'm just happy to be here to support him. And
I am no stranger to your area. I lived and worked in Lowell and in Lawrence, and I was at Methuen all the time, the Methuen Mall, and so on and so forth. I lived on the border of Nashua and Lowell, so I know it quite well.
Methuen Mall is about 2 minutes from my house.
Oh, see, perfect.
The old Methuen Mall, it's called the Loop now.
Oh, really?
So small world, yeah. So, friends, I'm Diana DiSaglio. If you forget the name later, just remember the Italian woman on the ballot. I am endorsed by Sheriff Cochi. We're going to be rolling out a couple of other endorsements today, actually, and I'm excited for that. But I'm here to support Sheriff Cochi and talk about all the great things that he's been doing in the community and to hear more about it. And also to meet folks from the area and hear about what their concerns are for the next role of state auditor to make sure that as your next state auditor, I'm hearing your concerns, and we're looking at making our state government more transparent, more accountable, and more equitable for all regions in the Commonwealth, especially Western Mass, where we know that y'all have some challenges out here with infrastructure, transportation, broadband, regional school transportation, all sorts of challenges in Western Mass, and making sure that you get your fair share of funds from state government. I am so lucky to have worked alongside of colleagues such as, you know, Adam Gomez, for example, who has been telling me about you know, all the challenges that the region faces. And we've actually co-sponsored several bills together to help marginalized communities and to bring regional equity. Because I live in the Merrimack Valley, and we also are not treated as equitably as we should. We don't have it as bad, I don't think, as Western Mass does, where you have more rural and rural remote communities as far as equity is concerned. But certainly, you know, we understand those challenges. And as state auditor, I want to look at regional equity as one of my main issues to make sure that this region's getting their fair share.
Molto bene.
Molto bene. Molto bene.
So we're very pleased to have Diane Zaglio, the lovely Italiano who is on the ballot for us.
La chica italiana, o la mujer italiana que habla en español. I am Italian, my Italian last name, but I speak Spanish as my second language. Actually, that's what I took in school, so that's what I learned, and we're going with it. So, yeah, so I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Our pleasure to have you on our program. I'm glad to bring on our next guest, because I don't want you to think that I'm going to be sitting here talking to one politico after another. We also have, human organizations dedicated to life in the Pioneer Valley represented here today. And my next guest is Lily Dixon. Lily represents Neighbor to Neighbor. Welcome, Lily.
Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm fine. What's Neighbor to Neighbor all about?
So Neighbor to Neighbor is a statewide organization of the new majority. So that consists of people of color, immigrants, women, and the working class. Our statewide membership is currently organizing to put people and the planet before profit and ensuring safe housing for all. We counter the fear that causes injustice by building power to transform the institutions that govern our lives.
Well, now, have you been to the Sheriff's Picnic here before?
No, this is my first time attending and my first time representing as a Neighbor to Neighbor member.
Where are you from originally?
Born and raised in Springfield, Mass.
Oh, that's great. Well, I hope you take advantage of all the interesting stuff going on here today. There's some wonderful food, but there's also a chance for you and your organization to rub elbows with a lot of people who are very well connected throughout our region.
I'm hoping to get myself and Neighbor to Neighbor more locally recognized, and I want to build those connections as well as have an actual presence within the community that I live in and that I serve. So this is a really important moment to me to actually get those connections and get out there, but really like make meaningful and lasting connections with people in my community.
Well, I think that's wonderful, and I want to thank you for being with us today, Lily Dixon, and the best of luck to you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Chris Dempsey to our program on Pioneer Valley Radio. Chris, good to have you here in Western Mass today. You hail from Brookline?
I do. I live in Brookline, Brad, and it's great to be back out here in Western Mass.
Terrific. When you say back in Western Mass, do you have connections to Western Mass?
We've been out many times, and I've got family out here. I have family that live in Holyoke, as well as in Montague. And I've been out many times over the course of the campaign. Very much honored to be supported by elected officials up and down the valley, whether it's City Council President Jesse Letterman here in Springfield, or State Rep Natalie Blay, who represents Montague, and other communities in the northern part of the valley. We're very strong up and down and really proud to have that support.
Well, that's terrific. Well, give me a thumbnail, Chris, of your political history.
So I'm running for a job that's all about making state government work better and standing up to protect the public interest. And that's what I've done in my career. I served as Assistant Secretary of Transportation for Governor Deval Patrick. While I was there, I co-founded the MassDOT program that led to all of the smartphone apps that tell you in real time when your bus is going to come. And that's really transformed bus ridership, especially in more rural areas where the bus might not come, you know, more than once an hour, once every 2 hours. If you miss that bus, it disrupts your entire day. And so really proud of that work to make transit work better across Massachusetts. And I certainly appreciate that many communities don't have any bus service at all, and that's something we've got to work on.
Yeah.
But I've also worked outside of state government to stand up to protect the public interest. In 2015, when a group of corporate interests got together behind closed doors and hatched a plan for the Boston 2024 Olympics, I co-founded a grassroots group called No Boston Olympics. And we stood up against that proposal, which was going to require all of us as state taxpayers to cover 100% of Olympic cost overruns. So whenever I'm in Western Mass, I say this: if you liked the Big Dig, you would love the Boston 2024 Olympics.
Ouch. Well, tell me something. How many hats are in this race?
So just two candidates in the Democratic primary, which is our focus. We've got 2.5 of each left. I'm so proud in this race to be endorsed by incumbent state auditor Suzanne Bump, who is the person who knows the job the best and the first woman to ever hold the office. And I'm also endorsed by the Mass Democratic Party with a win at the convention in June. And at that convention, we won the 3 westernmost Senate districts, represented by Senator Hines, Senator Bayless, and Senator Comerford. So really proud to have support in Western Mass from the grassroots.
Well, Chris, what is it that you really want to bring to the office of the state auditor?
I'm really proud that we've put out the first policy plans of any kind about what we actually want to do in this office. Our first was on oversight of federal stimulus funds. Our second was on climate and environmental justice, where we're going to make the office the first in the country to incorporate carbon accounting into our audits and state agencies. And our third was on oversight and reform of the Massachusetts State Police. And I have great respect for our troopers on the front lines, but a series of scandals with that agency have broken faith and trust with the public. I want that to be restored. It's going to take more oversight to do that. And when we do that, I think we'll truly be honoring the service of those state troopers.
Well, I wish you all the luck in the world in the race. We're very happy to have Chris Dempsey for state auditor with us on Pioneer Valley Radio. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Brad.
Well, I could call him my friend, but he's everybody's friend in Springfield and in the Pioneer Valley. The mayor of Springfield, Dominic Sarno. Dom, welcome back to Pioneer Valley
Brad,
Radio.
Brad, it is so great to see you, my friend. Every time I see you, to the listening audience, we have our own little credo of the old Dean Martin song, A Kick in the Head.
And I just performed it at the Majestic Theater on Sunday, and I thought of you.
And
when
I just talked to our pal, Richie Midnick, the Round Mound of Sound.
Yes.
And I was asking for you, and I'm glad you're doing better, Brad.
Yeah, I am. Richie and I will be together in Chicopee at Aldenville at the gazebo for a concert later on this month. I'll let you know.
I'll never forget that time. Lyrical Man of the Year Award. And on the cuff, really, they brought you up there with the band, and you got the place going, and the kick in the head with Dean Martin was some years ago. It was tremendous.
It was. And as a result of that, that's a staple in every concert and every appearance that I make. Well, there was that, and there was a time that I think we were both proceeding up Sumner Avenue. I was in the caddy, and you...
You had an old caddy in good shape, and you were smoking a cigar.
Yes, I was. Yeah. It was my Rat Pack moment.
Yeah.
Dominic, you've been pretty much a staple at almost every one of these clam bakes going back to the originators.
Sheriff Ash, tremendous what he is, what he did, the legacy he left, and now Sheriff Coachy. Nick has done a tremendous job expanding that legacy, but also putting his own mark on it. He's been, and Sheriff Coachy, Nick has been a great friend and a great partner to me in the city of Springfield. We partner in a lot of things to try to make lives better for people day in and day out.
I know you do, and this is an important thing in this day and age due to you need all the constituency, the mutual consistent constituency you can get in this wave of challenge to law enforcement. If there is a city that doesn't need to have an exacerbating challenge in law enforcement, it's our city.
You know, police have a very difficult job.
Yeah.
And I think with all public safety officials, people forget sometimes, when everybody else is running out of that building, they're running into that building to save lives and structures with police or firefighters. And I call them sentinels of peace. You know, they're out there making it clean and safe for each and every one. If there's an issue, it will be dealt with. But I mean, you know, you have to have, I'm old school, you need to have law and order. My thing for the community, no matter what creed, color, or background, when I'm moving around our neighborhood in Springfield, people want, you know, they want quality of life. I have to balance public safety and cop accountability, but I am very proud of the leadership of Police Superintendent Sheriff Lafferty and our police department and our partnership with Sheriff Coach.
Of course. Oh, there's always going to be an issue. There's always going to be a problem.
Yes.
It has to be one of the most complex and challenging jobs that there is, where in a split second you can make a wrong call, and we're all human beings. But the fact of the matter is, making it more difficult for the people at the front lines to make those decisions is not in the best interest of anybody. But that's
and again, we're one of the first Sibley, one of the first largest departments in New England, body-worn cameras. And the old adage, you're a media guy.
Yeah.
See film at 11. That'll tell you exactly what happened or what did not occur. So my whole thing is always going to be a balancing of public safety and cop accountability. But they, you know, police are asked to do a multitude of things. You know, be a police officer, they have to be a psychologist, and we're doing more and more stuff. This, I got to tell you one thing, this COVID-19 pandemic, thank God we're starting to move out of it, has turned mental health into really an epidemic.
Yeah.
And that screws a lot of the stuff that goes on, gunplay or gun violence, drugs. And I it'd be great if our courts would back us up and keep some of these repeat violent criminal offenders locked up.
There could be those who would accuse me at this moment of making some sort of a political statement, but it's an honest statement. I don't think anybody has the best interest at heart of the people of your city than you. I really don't. And I mean, you are the first person to jump and not be afraid to lose your temper at an injustice. And I've always admired that about you.
Brad, you know, we go way back.
Yeah.
I wear my heart on my sleeve. A lot of people like it. Sometimes it can get me in the gym. I love this job. I live it 24/7. I'm honored and privileged to be the mayor of the city of Springfield. And it's, you know, I have a good team. So, but I appreciate your comments, Brad, because it's comments like yours. And people that wave at me with all five fingers, that keep me going.
Well, when you talk about now equipping police officers with monitors and surveillance on the car, on the uniform, on the buildings, everywhere, you know, it brings to mind the old saying, and you were getting to that a moment ago, like, who are you going to believe, me or your own eyes?
I mean, film at 11.
The optics are all there. I'm not going to hog your time here at this wonderful day, but I just love having you on PBR.
Love you, Brad. And my wife, Carla, sends my best.
I talk to her on Facebook all the time. Boy, that woman can cook.
And let me tell you, you and the Bowmaster, we used to have some great time. The Christmas Eve shows were legendary.
I remember days when we were laughing so hard, we'd go right off the chair. Well, Dom, it's great to see you. You look healthy. I'm glad to say that. And you take care of yourself.
Always remember and never forget. Another kick in the head.
It's a kick in the head, Don Sardo. Joining us now and running for state rep from the 7th Hampton District, an old friend of ours, Chip Harrington. Hello, Chip, and welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's good to see you. I haven't seen you in a long time.
Well, I don't change.
No, you haven't. I recognize you right away as soon as I saw you.
Very good. Yeah, we are in the digital ether these days, Chip. How is the campaign going?
It's going very well. So I started this back in February when I first January when I first announced, and always it's a slow roll.
Yeah.
But now once you kind of get into August and that primary happens, I'm fortunate not to have a primary opponent, so I'm going right to November.
Okay.
I've been knocking doors since April. You know what I have found has been really a bit of a change that I've run before.
Yeah.
Is that I've been spending time at transfer stations every weekend.
Really?
This district is very rural. It's got Petersham and Pelham and Wendell. Down, you know, I live in Ludlow in Belchertown, but it's a very rural district in the sense that I have to get out there. They know me in Ludlow, they know me in Belchertown, but not up in Petersham.
Right.
So I go to the transfer station. They don't have curbside pickup. Everybody brings their trash to the dump. So I go there and I stand there with my palm cards, and I've been it's the same as door knocking. It's great.
Yeah. So you would characterize it as an old fashioned grassroots campaign.
Absolutely. I don't think that part of politics is ever going to change. Granted, I'm very active on Facebook and very active on, you know, social media, but getting in front of somebody is the most important thing you can do if you're ever going to run.
Well, it's a digital universe. Here's a funny question: on the campaign trail, is it an advantage or a disadvantage not to have an opponent?
I would say it's an advantage not to have an opponent. To have an opponent.
I just wonder because sometimes an opponent can you can counter, you can find weak spots on the opposition and use strong spots on your own to counter that.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, you know, there's no contrasting of positions and views when there's zero opponent.
So in that sense, you're 100% right. It forces me to hone my skills, to hone my message, and to talk specifically about what's really important throughout the district. So in that sense, but in the other sense, I don't have to go out and raise $30,000 to buy lawn signs and banners and things like that. You know?
So what are you going to do? What would you do? What would you like to do to identify Western Mass more strongly to Beacon Hill?
Well, so there's a couple things I've been talking about on the campaign trail. One, and I'm going to indirectly get right back to what you're asking. So the one thing, I've been on the school committee for the last 18 years in the town of London. I've been involved for 32 years, selectmen, everything else. One thing we don't do really well in Massachusetts is promote vocational education. We're great at promoting two-year schools and four-year schools. We're terrible about incentivizing young people to consider the trades.
Yeah.
Right now, there's a disconnect. We have the average age of a tradesperson is 59 years old, and we don't have people backfilling those jobs. So we have a need, and we have really good-paying jobs, people who are getting out of school, but they need to be exposed to those industries so they can truly consider them.
Right.
So in middle school, I'm proposing that we start exposing younger people to the trades, whether it's just woodworking or metalworking,
yeah,
or the basic trades, so that they can make an educated decision whether they want to go to a Pathfinder or a C-Tech or something like that. Right now, unfortunately, in society, we make kids feel stupid if they consider they want to be a carpenter, that they're not smart enough to go to college.
Which is ridiculous, because those jobs are so necessary.
Absolutely.
And, you're not, when a pipe bursts in the basement, you're not going to call a programmer.
Right. Absolutely. You need somebody that's willing to get their hands dirty,
yep,
willing to work hard, and they want to be incentivized to work. They want to get up and go to work every single day. And there's so many young kids that just need to be shown that you can make a real solid living working with your hands. But we also have a shortage of precision manufacturing in that area as well, too. So that's one thing I talk about. The second thing is, I'm not sure if you're familiar with criminal justice reform that the legislature did in 2021, but it really took an impact on local small municipalities. So out here in these districts that I'm running in, Pelham, Shutesbury, all the way up to Petersham, if you're they might have a full-time police chief, but mostly they rely on reserve police officers.
Right.
These are part-time police officers, citizen officers that work a day job and then put the uniform on at night and go patrol the streets on nights and weekends. They rely on them. Well, the legislature, in their wisdom, decided that as a result of George Floyd and some really terrible things that took place in the country, they needed to do something. And what they did was they required reserve police officers to go back and get a full-time certificate. On paper, sure, that makes sense. But the reality is all these part-time police officers have to take time off from their day job, 3 weeks, in fact, to go and get a full-time certificate, in addition to taking 120 hours of online classes, in addition to taking 4 additional tests. So most of these reserve police officers are choosing not to do it.
Yeah.
So now these little rural towns in western Massachusetts, and really it starts Worcester West, this is even hitting Worcester County,
right,
they're losing police officers. So now they're talking about regionalizing. So if you're having a choking baby, God forbid, you're going to call the cops. If that cop might be in Leverett, but they're really used to be in Wendell,
right,
you're waiting 20 minutes, and that's where their blue light's on. And if there's nobody on staff, you're waiting for a trooper to get there. So the byproduct of that legislation has really hurt Western Massachusetts.
Yeah.
So to get back to your original question, West, as far as Western Massachusetts versus Beacon Hill, we are still looked at as the redheaded stepchild.
Yep,
here.
I know.
And inside that 128 Beltway, that's where all the money is. If you look at the district I'm running in right now, 2 years ago, I ran for this position 2 years ago, and it ended in a recount. And 2 years ago, this district was Ludlow, Belchertown, Indian Orchard, and Chicopee. That makes perfect sense. Now they change it to Ludlow, Belchertown, Pelham, all the way up to Petersham. Because those knuckleheads in Boston, the politicians in Boston, look at Western Mass as just being one block. They just paint us with the same brush. They look at Ludlow and Wendell and say, well, they're near each other. No, we're not. We're not associated at all. But I'm running in the district because we do have a lot of things in common, is that we get crapped on by the legislature on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So if you have some people up there who are people who have been on a local for a long time, who get up every day and go to work and put their shoes on, and they realize that the legislature, if they stop providing so many, they stop disincentivizing people to work, and we need to start getting back to incentivizing people to work, our legislature is completely out of touch with reality. They're so far left that they're not even middle anymore. They're out of their minds. We need a little bit of balance in Massachusetts.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Well, Chip Harrington, the best of luck to you in your campaign, and I hope to be talking to you again.
I appreciate it, Brad. Thank you.
Take care of yourself, my friend. Good friend of mine stopping by today. You've heard him on my program many times. He is a ubiquitous council president in Springfield. He is, of course, Jesse Letterman. Hiya, Jess.
Brad, thanks so much for being here documenting the incredible day that is the Sheriff's Picnic.
The concatenation of the masses here, all colliding amongst one another. Law enforcement, politics, the business community, they're all here today noshing and drinking and talking and schmoozing and all those good things. What brings you here today?
You know, somebody asked me earlier, what makes this event what it is? Why are there candidates from across Massachusetts here and elected officials from all over Hampden County and the various other interests that you described? And I actually think that it goes back really to Sheriff Ash.
Yeah.
Sheriff Ash was an incredibly unique elected official. His background in social work, his commitment to the city of Springfield and all of Hampden County, it attracted an incredibly diverse field of support, and I think that's really how this organically developed over his career and has now been carried on by Sheriff Cochi, who I think is a unique candidate in his own right. And I think that Nick recognized the need for this, not just to generate support for his own campaign, but really to recognize the work that can happen here today.
Yeah.
Having an opportunity to connect with one another in a casual setting, see folks and meet new folks who you might not have met before, and especially for the statewide candidates, right? This is an event right now that presumptive Democratic nominee Maura Healey is at. We know that Charlie Baker had been here many times. Across the political spectrum, right, the Republican candidates are here, Democrat candidates are here, and that really is what makes it a special day.
I couldn't put that any better myself, and sitting here as I am, it's sort of interesting to see Sheriff Ash cruise by looking hale and hearty. He doesn't change, you know, and to see, obviously, Nick Cochi as what I consider to be a very worthy successor to carry this this forward, and it is a very positive thing, certainly for the aspect of the law enforcement spectrum that the Sheriff's Department occupies. What's really on your mind these days in the City Council, Jesse?
Well, we're getting ready to come back for our fall session. We will be back in the City Council chambers for the first time in 2 years since the pandemic began. The program it had been fully virtual up until this time, and when I became president back at the beginning of June, one of the things that was very important to me was to get us back into City Hall and have, you know, government take place in front of the people where it belongs, accountable to the people. Certainly, we've learned a lot over the pandemic of how technology can help us with accessibility and getting as many voices involved as possible, and so we'll be maintaining the opportunity for folks to participate virtually should they need to, whether due to illness or another circumstance. But we're glad to be back into the chamber. And in that same regard, one of the things I'm very interested in focusing on right now is how we can get more people involved in civic engagement in Springfield. Mm-hmm. You know, we really want to see the doors of City Hall opened up and the people of Springfield at the table in those decision-making processes. We hear often about voter turnout and participation in the city, but I also think of the many events that I go to across Springfield where people are coming to me saying, I want to be more involved in my community. So we're looking at how we can get folks more involved through boards and commissions, through advisory, working committees, things like that. And also looking at this recovery money that is now going out into the community. One of the things that I believe we have to be very cognizant of is that this is a one-time infusion. Mm-hmm. And it is fortunate that we have it, but we need to make sure that we are investing these funds, not just spending them.
Absolutely.
And so in that regard, having become council president, getting a seat via that on the ARPA advisory committee, we're going to be looking at how we can make sure that we are not only investing these funds, but publicly reporting on what the benefit to the community of.
How long does the term of a city council president last, Jesse?
So council president terms are actually just 1 year, and people traditionally do two of them, right? But you do have to actually be reelected. I'm in a bit of a unique circumstance due to the resignation of my dear friend Marcus Williams, who resigned earlier this year. He was the council president, and I became president by nature of having been the vice president. And so, you know, I have very grateful to my colleagues who have pledged their support, not just in this transition, but also in the year ahead. We've secured public commitments from the entire council to continue as president in 2023. And so we have a little bit of time here to make some changes and really do the work of the council president, which is twofold, right? You have a responsibility certainly to the institution, making sure that things are running smoothly and supporting councilors in their initiatives to benefit Springfield, but also looking at, as a citywide leader, how we can represent, of course, as always, the views that are being expressed to us by our constituents.
You are hearing Springfield City Council President Jesse Lederman. And Jesse, you have always been very available to Pioneer Valley Radio. I can call you at the drop of a hat and get a ask a question and get a position on a city issue. So thank you very much for that, and I look forward to talking with you in the future.
Can't wait for the next one, Brad. Good luck.
Joining me now here at the Cochee Cookout is a gentleman who I first met here at the Cochee Cookout, and he was newly elected at that time and made his first appearance on our program, from the Springfield City Councilor, Victor Davila. Hiya, Victor.
How you doing, Brad? It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you.
Thank you.
So what year is this for you? How many years?
Third year.
How many?
Third year. So my third year.
Wow.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Are you having fun?
I am. I am, actually. Being in the City Council is great. It's an honor and a privilege. Doing good work for the people of the city of Springfield and learning a lot, because Brad, I don't know everything, but I try very hard.
Can you think of something that you discovered to be very unexpected in your first term?
Yeah, COVID. COVID.
Good answer.
Yeah, COVID. COVID has really been a challenge for us. However, we were able to continue to have the continuity of government. We have been meeting online through Zoom. And so, you know, another thing that I think it's like I knew, but it wasn't that powerful to me, is the amount of poverty in the city of Springfield.
Yeah.
We have 25% of the population below poverty line. And that's something we need to continue to look at. And also the housing market. We are projected to have a housing crisis in Springfield, and it's something that not only Springfield, but collectively as a region, we have to start looking at.
I see that you seem to be supporting Senator Lesser for Lieutenant Governor.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's my pleasure. He's a great man. And God willing, he will be the next Lieutenant Governor.
You want to keep... you want to stay as long as you can on the council? You're going to run again?
Oh, absolutely. I'm running next year. I will stay there as long as the people have me. It's not my seat. It belongs to the people. You know, the people are my boss. And it's just an honor and a privilege to be in the city council.
Chatting with Springfield City Councilor Victor Davila here on Pioneer Valley Radio. Best of luck to you, Victor.
Thank you, Brad. God bless you.
Joining me now is someone who's been with us on Pioneer Valley Radio more than a few times, and he is a very busy guy. He is attorney Mike Fenton in the Pioneer Valley. And Mike, you are making a bid for the Governor's Council.
That's right. Thanks for having me, Brad.
How many people even know what the Governor's Council is?
Not enough. And that is what I'm trying to do in this campaign. Explain to voters the critical importance of this position and why I'm running for it.
If I understand it correctly, one of the more critical things attendant upon the Governor's Council is oversight over judges and selection of judges. Would that be correct?
Well, selection of judges, not oversight.
Okay.
There's no oversight of judges. It's just confirmation and initial screening.
In your view, is that a good thing or a bad thing that there's no oversight on judges?
There is oversight on judges. It's just not done by the Governor's Council. Judges in Massachusetts are not elected. They're not subject to review or screening in the ordinary way that we would think of people that are serving in a bureaucracy. But there is there are standards and there are ethical complaints that can be made against a judge. And that's really the only type of circumstance in which a judge could be removed from the bench. An ethical violation.
That's good. It has to be that. Otherwise, it would be a clear field for people to pursue vendettas. And that ain't going to fly. That's not good for anybody.
Yeah, there's a John Grisham book reference in there somewhere, Brad, because there are places across the country that do elect judges. And I do not support that system. And I don't think Massachusetts should either.
I was hoping to see Grisham walk in here today, but he hasn't yet. If you does come, point him out.
Yeah, well, we are at the sheriff's picnic, not clam bake, because there's no clams this year.
I
told Sheriff Cochee. But I wouldn't be surprised to see someone like John Grisham walk in here. We do have a lot of celebrities and politicos.
But I do have to differ with you. There are some clams, but they're hiding in the chowder. There is clam chowder here.
Okay, there we go.
I know these things. So tell me about the hats in the ring. Is it a four-way race?
It's a four-way race, and four-way race in the Democratic primary, and there is a Republican challenger. A little bit about me. I'm an attorney, partner at a regional law firm with offices in Springfield and Northampton, firm Schatt, Schwartz & Fenton. I've been a member of the City Council in Springfield for 12 years as a part of my public service, City Council President for 3. This uniquely situates me for this position because of my legal training. I know who are the effective litigators. I know how to get the best and brightest lawyers in the area to be on the judiciary. I know what questions to ask and screen them. And based on my public service, I also know that Western Massachusetts is too regularly a forgotten area of the state.
Yeah.
We need a ferocious fighter who's going to advocate not just for Western Massachusetts judges in Western Massachusetts positions, but more broadly for investment in infrastructure, transportation, public safety, economic development, education, and I've got a track record for being able to do that.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, and that's actually been a familiar theme today in many of the conversations that I've had, that Western Mass, you know, we all have the little figures of speech worth, the redheaded stepchild and all the rest of that kind of thing in the state. And we hear Beacon Hill say, oh, no, 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 we're acutely aware of Western Mass and we care deeply. But here at Western Mass, that kind of rings a little bit hollow. So it's a big push on the part of yourself and others who note this to get attention, the attention to Western Mass that we really don't think is here.
Well, and here's the thing about the Governor's Council, Brad, that makes it a unique position to be able to do that. Every single vote that the Governor Council takes is an appointment or confirmation of a request by the governor. That is it. Everything is the governor asking the governor's council to confirm a decision that he or she is trying to make. That creates unprecedented access to the executive branch of Massachusetts government. The governor's council meetings are chaired by the lieutenant governor, and they take place right next to the governor's office in Beacon Hill. Mm-hmm. All of this means that it is an incredibly wasted opportunity if we don't send someone to Beacon Hill who's going to advocate for all 104 cities and towns from Pittsfield to Great Barrington, Northampton, Greenfield, Springfield, Chicopee, and everywhere in between to do more than just confirm judges. And that's what I think uniquely situates me to do this role, and that's why I'm in this race.
In your history as an attorney in Springfield, you've had some pretty high profile cases, have you not?
Well, I'm really proud of my career. I'm proud of my partners and my firm. And over the course of time, particularly given the intersection between law and government, I've taken on some pretty serious cases and gotten some good results, particularly for the residents of the city of Springfield. Some examples of that were the biomass fight that ultimately ended up with stopping the toxic incinerator in Springfield, the police commission case, which went all the way to the Supreme Judicial Court. I wrote that ordinance, helped recruit the pro bono counsel to litigate that case. We won that. We now have a police commission in Springfield. There was the Eversource case that resulted in a return of $42 million of taxpayer money to the city of Springfield. That was another case that went through the court system and the appellate tax board. And I'm incredibly proud of those experiences, and I want to take those experiences and bring them to the governor's council.
As you should be. Hey, Mike, it's been great to get up close and personal with you today here at the Coachee Cookout. I appreciate your being as candid with us as you are about your bid for the governor's council. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much, Brad. I'm going to go look for some of those clams you said are in the chowder.
Well, since we're on the subject of the governor's council, let's meet another hat in the ring for the governor's council. Good guy I've known for a long time, Jeff Morneau, joining us now. Jeff, welcome to Pioneer Valley Radio.
Hey, thanks for having us. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate it. Great day here at Coachee's Picnic.
It is. You know, you can come here and you can broil, or you can come here and you can get soaked. But it's very rare you can come here and enjoy clear weather and a cool breeze.
Yeah, he really got a great day for it. Lot, you know, huge turnout as always, and a great place to meet people, catch up with old friends, and meet new ones.
Absolutely. So, as I found out a moment or two ago, or as we discussed, 4 hats in the ring for the Governor's Council. You are one of them. Why do you want the Governor's Council?
This is something that I've been passionate about for a while. I ran, as you know, as many people know, I ran back in 2016. I'm not a politician, but I'm running for this elected office because it's something that I'm very passionate about, which is making sure that we get the best judges in the community. And I also want to go through the process and make some real changes on the parole board. So I'm back. I'm throwing my hat back in the ring this time, and you know, I'm ready to take the seat.
Well, you're certainly in the right neighborhood today if you want to make changes to the parole board.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we need complete reform of the parole board and the whole parole process. As you know, as some a lot of people don't know, but I mean, even if I asked you to guess, like how many pardons and commutations have we had here in Massachusetts in 20 years? Right, let people think about that. How many pardons and commutations of all the people that have been in jail, how many? Less than 15 total in 20 years.
Really?
Yeah. So we had, you know, Baker's had a couple of commutations recently. Even our most progressive of governors, Governor Deval Patrick, only had 7 total pardons and commutations combined. And then, of course, Romney, Republican governor, had 0. So you look across the border here in Connecticut, and they have hundreds of them a year. Why is that? We need to make some real changes.
Well, let me ask you this question. Since you're talking about the Governor's Council and the oversight of the selection of judges and so forth, what goes through your mind when you hear prominent voices such as the former Tony Scott and currently Mayor Sarno tearing their hair out about rearresting the same perpetrators and criminals over and over again and hollering about low bail, and all the rest of that, and the perforating the efforts to clean up Springfield in terms of law enforcement? What goes through your mind?
Well, I don't really hear them complaining about judges in the community. I hear them complaining about bail, and that's something that's really done through the legislature, and I know that Mayor Sarno is, you know, trying to make some changes, and he's proposed some legislation with regard to that. I haven't tracked that exclusively where that's at.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, the judges for the most part, they're doing the job that they've been hired to do, and they're, you know, they're doing what they got to do here in the community.
That's fair. A lot of people have to remember the judges aren't improvising. They're following their, if you will, their curriculum as established by the legislature. Unfortunately, it lands on them because they're visible in these circumstances. So tell me about the campaign. How's it going?
Campaign's going great. We're making lots of inroads. We've been traveling, you know, not only throughout here in Hampden County, but spending a lot of time in Berkshire County, Franklin County, Hampshire County. As you know, this district is very big, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's covering it all. It's covering Hampden, Hampshire, Franklin, Berkshire, lots of cities and towns. So we're just like here. We're going to events. We're doing parties, and we're really meeting people and getting our message out about the changes that we want to make and what we're looking for in judges going forward.
Excellent. We're chatting with Jeff Morneau for the Governor's Council. Jeff, thank you for being with us on Pioneer Valley Radio.
Great. Thanks so much. Keep up the great work.
And now we turn our attention to State Rep. Jake Oliveira, who would like to be your state senator. Hiya, Jake.
How you doing? I'm good, thank you very much.
You having a good time at the cookout today?
I am loving the cookout. And you know what? Of course, the one day that rains is, of course, the sheriff's cookout. You know, we've needed rain all summer long. And I was looking at the weather forecast, and I was marking the calendar, and I said, of course there's rain on the sheriff's cookout.
Well, I'll tell you something. In years past, it's been broiling hot and humid, or it's been rainy. Today, we're really kind of lucking out.
I'll take weather like this any day. Especially
absolutely.
Knocking on 15,000 doors in this race so far in 100-degree weather, soaking wet and surviving on Pedialyte. I'll take a day like this any day.
I know where you're at. Now, where do you hail from?
I'm a Ludlow native. So 4 generations from the town of Ludlow. My family immigrated from Portugal and Poland in the early 20th century to work in the Ludlow mills and the mills that dotted the Pioneer Valley over here. So my family's been there ever since. My mom and dad are alums of Ludlow Public Schools. My grandmother is. I am. So it's good to give back to the community that's given you so much.
What does Beacon Hill need that you can provide?
I think what Beacon Hill needs right now is a strong voice for Western Massachusetts.
No, does it ever.
And not only a strong voice, but a voice that can actually amplify the voices that are already there right now. I'm proud to be part of the Western Mass delegation. I'm proud to work with my colleagues in the House and Senate very closely. And the one thing that I have noticed that when Western Mass speaks as one voice, because there's about 2 dozen legislators that represent the 413, we can actually get things done. And so my goal as a state legislator is not to wave a magic wand and to say that I have the solution to all the questions that might exist, but I am here to be amplify the voice of those 24 members of the Western Mass delegation and to act as a unifying voice for all of us to come together.
Aside from a grassroots campaign in the midst of a heat wave, how's it going?
It's going wonderful. You know, I actually love door-to-door. I love getting out there and meeting voters. You know, I started this campaign, I was knocking on doors when there was still snow on the ground. So now I appreciate the hot weather, but I also now appreciate when there was snow on the ground when I was knocking on doors in 95-degree weather.
Well, I wish you the best of luck, Jake Oliveira, for State Senate, and stay in touch with Pioneer Valley Radio.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
It goes without saying our thanks are extended to the Hamden County Sheriff's Department and to Sheriff Nick Cochi for including Pioneer Valley Radio in this, their fifth get-together, continuing the tradition from former Sheriff Ash. Thank you for listening, and thanks to everybody who appeared on the program today. I'm Brad Shepard, and we'll talk again.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Pioneer Valley Radio. Copyright
2022.
All rights reserved.